thanks for being here today. Welcome. Today, I'm going to talk to Annette van der Velst. Before I will quickly introduce Annette, I want to emphasize one thing. That is, if you're listening through Spotify, you have the opportunity to participate in a Q&A and to leave me a message if you have a specific request, for example, for a future episode, or you want to share your opinion with me. Feel free to do so and know that I would love that. All right, today's episode, we have Annette as a guest. Annette has been living in the US as an expat, or, well, in the meantime, as a local, for 24 years. Originally, she's from the Netherlands, and fast forward, when she was writing her thesis in Sweden, she met her current husband in a laundry room. She committed to move with him to the US for a period of 3 years. Today, 24 years later, she lives a happy life in New York City. It was in New York when she found her current business, Dutch American Connection. With her business, it's her goal to help the foreign feel familiar for Dutch businesses expanding to the States or the other way around. She, for example, connects Dutch and American companies by inspiring them to explore their own very often unconscious way of doing business and comparing those for them to the host country's way of doing business. Annette helps organizations, teams, expatriates, but so important, their families to thrive in the US or in the Netherlands. Without further ado, we're going to hear all about her life and about her business, Dutch American Connection. I welcome Annette to the show. Very good day, Annette. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, I'm extremely excited to have you here. I'm happy that we have met. I'm excited for our conversation because you, Dutch from origin, living in the US for ages, really, decades.
Yes.
And I would say, other than that, you can write a book based on your personal experiences with cultural differences in the US. It's also your profession to help others to overcome them. And you do that with your business, Dutch American Connection.
Yep, correct.
Yeah. I think it's clear that we have common interest. I cannot wait to hear all about your story, how you ended up in the US. I read on your website that you have a Swedish husband. Also curious to hear how that multicultural dynamics is going. And of course, all about your work with Dutch American Connection. Again, super warm welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. This is going to be great.
I'm happy to hear that. Happy to hear your enthusiasm. So, Dutch from origin, living in the US. Tell us more.
Well, as a child, from age 11 to 14, I lived in the US with my parents and my sisters and the guinea pig and the dog. And we lived here for 3 years, and those were three amazing years. It was wonderful. So at age 14, moved back to the Netherlands, but you know, it's like a bug. You catch a bug and you just want to move abroad again. So I studied abroad. I studied in the Netherlands. I traveled. But I wrote my master's thesis in Sweden. And that's where the company I wrote my master's thesis had said, no problem. Everybody here speaks English. But when I got there to interview people, nobody spoke English. And Swedish and Dutch are, you know, the languages are similar. So I learned the language quite quickly and was able to do, you know, my interviews and everything. So upon graduating from university, I got a job at a Dutch Swedish company, and they in Amsterdam, and they sent me right back to Sweden, which was not part of my plan. But then, you know, 2 months after moving there, I met a really nice Swedish guy in the laundry room. And we hit it off and got married, and he had just moved back from from, oh gosh, I think about 6 years in Los Angeles. And he wanted to move back to the US. And I was like, okay, all right, we can move to the US, but only for 3 years. After that, we're going to move to another country. And that was 24 years ago. And we're not
So,
sure what happened.
no, well, are you not sure? I mean, I assume you guys are happy, right? I mean, after 24 years living abroad, living in the US.
Yeah, we're very happy. Yeah, we love it here. It just wasn't a conscious decision to stay. You know, it was like, okay, one more year, and yeah, here we
Yeah.
are. So no, and we love it here.
Great. And you said you always had this desire to remain moving or living abroad. You said to your current husband for 3 years to the US and then we're gonna, move on. Where do you think that desire comes from?
Oh, it's a sort of restlessness, but it's like the draw to adventure, to something new. Just and we both have that, just wanting to explore something new.
Beautiful. But then, yeah, so 24 years in the US, do you still find something new every day while living in the US?
Well, life is, wake up kids to school and do work and laundry and cooking and but we definitely try to explore new things. Like, we love going into New York, and there's always something happening in New York. So even though our definition of exploring something new would have been living in a different country, but the kids go to school here. We don't want to take them, out of their current environment. So we're finding new things in the area, and we love to travel. And we've made a very conscious decision to take every opportunity we get to travel, and travel somewhere, somewhere unusual,
Great,
or
love
not
it.
on the beaten path.
Yeah, exactly. Not on the beaten path. Oh, amazing. So 24 years ago, when you made that leap of faith, or you took that leap of faith and you moved to the US, how did your life look like? Was it anything that you expected?
Oh gosh, no. First of all, we were newlyweds, we didn't have kids, and and I think the thing that most expats experience is, you're moving to New York. How exciting is that? It's like, sorry for the rest of the world, but we consider it the center of the world. Like, how exciting can it be? But once you're here, of course it's exciting. In the evenings you discover new restaurants and new places, and in the weekends you discover new things. But you still get up in the morning and go to work, and you got to do laundry, and you got to make dinner, and so you think like, oh, New York. But after a while, life just becomes or weekdays become just regular as anywhere else.
Yeah.
And that was, I don't want to say that was a surprise, but it was like, oh yeah, you can be anywhere, but you still have to go to work. And but we made the best of it. Like, going to work was very different. So we moved from Sweden. The office environment, even though we were working, we both transferred with our company, so we were both working for the company we worked for in Sweden. The office environment is different. The way things are done different are different. This was in 1999, at the .com, at the height of .com. So it was very exciting in that way. I was working for a telecommunications company, so I got to travel to Silicon Valley quite often. It was very exciting in that way. So that was exciting.
I can see that. I mean, it's such a cool decade to arrive in the Big Apple. I can see that.
Yeah, it was fascinating in that way. Yes.
And you were saying, even though you both were a transferee within the company that you guys worked for, many things were different, right? The office environment you mentioned, the way business was done.
I mean, yeah, there were lots of differences. I think the one that, I keep coming back to is, on the day that my first daughter was born, I actually got laid off from the US company. On the exact date, my husband came home from the hospital, and in front of our door was this big bouquet of pink flowers from my husband's company, and there was a pink slip, which is what you get when you get laid off. There was a pink slip from my company, and I just had a daughter, so that was, you know. So that is the thing that just blew us away, that that was possible. And it was possible. We were a department of like 28, and I think 18 people had to be laid off. But because I was a transferee from Sweden, the Swedish company called and said, "Hey, we heard you got laid off from the American company. Are you coming back?" "No, I'm not coming back for now." And they said, "Well, can we take you off the headcount?" And I said, "No, legally you cannot do that because I just had a baby." So I had to stay on their headcount. And explaining this to Americans that, okay, I'm not getting a salary from Sweden, but I'm still on the headcount for 1.5 years after my daughter was born. And during that 1.5 year, they could not remove me from the headcount. So after 1.5 years, they called me and they said, "It's been 1.5 years. Can we take you off the headcount?" I'm like, "Sorry, I'm pregnant. You cannot take me off the headcount." So for 3 years, I was on the headcount again, not getting a salary, but explaining that to Americans, explaining to Europeans, like, "Yeah, I got laid off on the day my daughter was born." That is a very, that's not done, especially in Sweden. And explaining to Americans that, for 3 years I was on the headcount, they couldn't lay me off because I had just had a baby. So there's a very big difference in how people view, employment rights, employee rights. Very big difference. Lots of differences, but that's, the one that stays in my mind because it was so impactful for us.
I can see that super close to home and super impactful. I mean, giving birth and being in this new phase of life, and instead of receiving the pink flowers, receiving the pink envelope. I mean, that must be super impactful. I can see that.
Yeah. Fortunately, by that time I had my green card. So I wasn't on a work visa, but I was on a green card so I could stay. Because that would have made things even worse. And I did have a client who gave birth and her husband lost his job, and they had to move with a little baby. So I keep thinking of, well, lucky me that I at least had a green card by that time.
Yeah, and now we're like many years later, you're still there. So it all worked out in the end, right?
It worked out, yeah, it all worked out really well. Yep.
Would you say your personal experiences adapting to the US, you said, I had to get used to the office environment, how things were done, the layoff example. Has that been a driver for what you do today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is the driver. The whole experience I had, I'm a little bit embarrassed to say that, I criticized my American boss. And, in Holland, that, I mean, criticize is a big word, but, a discussion about things, that was not appreciated. That was absolutely not appreciated. And, I had several things where, I realized, like, oops, I guess they don't appreciate that here. So that is absolutely one of the biggest drivers, that my own experience of having to figure out what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. The office was quite international, so it was difficult to figure out what the American culture was, what, the office culture was. So that is, I would say, 50% of the driver, my own experience. But after the birth of my second child, I stopped working, being employed, and I started helping expatriates who move to New York, and I helped them settle in. And that was an experience where I noticed that, you spend a lot of time at different government agencies waiting for your turn, and you chat with these expats. And I noticed that the expats who were curious, who are like, "Gee, I wonder why, why it's so inefficient." I wonder why they don't do it the way we do it in my home country. I noticed that the expats who were very curious and open-minded about, I wonder why it's different, that those were the ones that that had a great time, that were successful. The families were thriving in the United States. But then there was also a group of expats who were like, oh, this is so inefficient. And oh, in my country. And they were the ones that stayed within their little diaspora, their group of their own nationalities, and they had completely different experiences. And that made me realize that how important it is to be open to, your host culture, and not only be open to your host culture, but also be very aware of your own culture, because culture is relative, So what we may think is well, for example, the what we think is being on time, somebody else may think is late, and somebody else may think is early. It's all so relative. But those are the two main drivers, my own experience, and then seeing how the expats who were thriving in the United States, what their attitude was.
And what do you think has been for those expats, the ones that were thriving, and what was the key to their success?
Curiosity, open mind, self-awareness. Most people think like, oh yeah, if I'm just curious, it will all be okay. But also this self-awareness, being aware of how things are done in your culture. But those are the three main things.
And with that work, you helped expats settling in the US. Were that expats from cultures all over the world, or from countries all over the world, or specific Dutch?
Oh no, all over the world.
So dynamic.
I want to have a map and like mark every country that that I haven't helped settle in. But so many, all over the world.
I love it. And then at a certain point, you found Dutch American connection.
So doing the settling in was perfect for when the kids were little. And I've been doing it for 16 years. I still enjoy it after 16 years. But the kids got bigger. They needed me less and less at home. And so I know, I wanted to dive more into these intercultural differences. So I work for several agencies, and there I help expats who move to the United States with the cultural differences. So I help the families, I help the kids, I help the expat themselves, like really coach them to be effective and efficient in their new environments. So I started doing that, but as the kids got bigger, I just noticed that the Dutch American cultural differences, because I live that, that is something that I wanted to really dive into and share the experience I had lived.
And you said, because I experienced that myself, you want to share the experience that you lived. Can you take us a bit on your experiences? Why is the Dutch American dynamic or the cultural difference so, well, unique, so to say?
I think one of the things is, if you talk to any Dutch person, they've all been on vacation in the United States. Many of them have maybe lived here, but many of them have studied here. And if they haven't studied here, they have a cousin or a best friend who lives here. And Dutch culture is just everywhere in the Netherlands. Like, everybody watches American movies. So the Dutch. And this is very natural. They're like, how difficult can it be? Like, if they were to move to China or Japan, yes, of course, everybody knows that, doing business there is different. The way people communicate is there is different. So that's very important to prepare. But going to the United States, how hard can it be? And so I get a lot of clients who, after 3 months, after about 3 months, the honeymoon period is over. The first 3 months, everything's great and fantastic. And after 3 months, they're like, oh, things are different. And oh, why is my client, why is my partner Responding this way or not responding at all. And that's it's it takes a while to really live those differences. But at first glance, it's like, yeah, you know, everybody's been to the United States. How difficult can it be?
I can see that because I love how you bring in the comparison with, for example, China or Japan, where of course, the cultural differences are in our face. Everything
Yes.
looks different, everything feels different. The whole environment has a different, everything has a different impression. So you're constantly aware of the fact that you're from a different cultural background, which of course, like you said, it's not the case in the US. We all relate to how it looks and feel, I guess.
And so, I have three children, and two of them are living in the Netherlands right now. And, they grew up going to the Netherlands every summer. So they're very comfortable in the Netherlands and in Sweden. But yet, they were raised here in the United States, and they still tell me about all these cultural differences that they find very surprising. And that is for kids who speak fluently Dutch, who, have spent so much time in the Netherlands. It's the other way around. They're like, oh, okay, that was, that's surprising.
It's very present, right? The culture, our cultural roots are very deeply rooted inside of our brain, and they play a part in so many things with a significant impact.
Absolutely. And we're just not aware of how deeply rooted it is, and how, we're not aware of our own culture. And that's why, when you work across cultures, when you work across boundaries, it's so important to realize what you think is normal may not be normal somewhere else. And the way you communicate or your expectations are received in such a different way. By the receiver, by the other culture.
And when we dive into that Dutch American connection, so to say, what are the, or can you mention a couple of main differences that will have a significant impact if not managed properly?
Oh yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah, the list is too long. But no, actually, it's quite surprising because when you speak, when you speak to people about Dutch American cultural differences, and when you read about it, everybody's like, "Oh, the Dutch are so direct. The Dutch are so, they speak their mind. They share their opinion, whether you want to hear it or not." And that's true. But when I speak to Americans who work with the Dutch, I would say their number one, observation is the lack of urgency. In the United States, and of course the United States is really big. There are 50 states, there are 330 million Americans. So it's very, you can't just say in the United States, but especially here in the Northeast, in New York, the greater New York area, the pace is really, really fast. Things move very quickly. And if you send an email, especially if you send an email to your client or some or a supplier, it is expected that that email is responded to or at least acknowledged within 24 hours. So if I send you an email with a request, it's expected that I get an email with the answer, or I get an email with saying thank you very much for your email. I don't have the answer, but I will have the answer by Wednesday. Like, it's very much managing the expectations. In the Netherlands, there is much more a work-life balance. 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whatever, you turn off the computer. And if you get an email from the United States, well, it's gonna have to wait until tomorrow. I mean, I'm being very black and white here, of course. I'm being very generalistic, and I'm noticing that, especially the startups and the smaller companies are adopting this American really fast pace. But a lot of companies, a lot of American companies will tell me that, I send an email saying I need this information and I need it tomorrow. And crickets is a very American expression for nothing, silence. And then they get an answer 2 weeks later. And surprisingly, they get the answer like, oh yeah, it's been fixed. Well, the American expects the answer like, thank you very much, I'll fix it. You can expect a follow-up email by Friday.
How
So
interesting.
That's very surprising. And if you read, if you Google Dutch American cultural differences, you'll almost always hear about the Dutch being direct. But my American clients tell me that this lack of urgency, the speed, or the lack of speed, and of course, the endless vacations. On the one hand, so Americans, they have they take very few vacation days, and I'm guilty of this as well. When I go on vacation, I'm going on vacation pretty soon, but you know what? I'll still be checking my emails. I'll still have some Zoom calls, and that's kind of, that's the norm in the United States. But in the Netherlands, when you go on vacation, I mean, yeah, you turn off your email. Maybe you'll dial in for that one really super important meeting. So I think it all comes down to work-life balance.
I'm curious to hear your opinion on, the perception. So let's say the American perception of the lack of urgency or the lack of speed of the Dutch culture. Do you
Yeah.
think it is the lack of urgency or speed? Do you think that's what it's that what is, let's say, below the surface?
No, I mean, it's a symptom of how do we value our free time? How do we how do we value how what do we find what do we place importance on?
Oh.
And you'll find Americans, and again, I'm generalizing here, but you'll find Americans who work, they go home, they have dinner, and then they'll log back in at 9 p.m. to answer all those emails that they haven't answered. Because quite often you'll find people who have this work ethic where I want to answer everything by the end of the day, or at least acknowledge everything by the end of the
Yeah.
day. So to me, it has a lot to do with where does work end and where does your private life start? And
Yeah.
in the United States, there's a very blurry line between private life and work life.
Yeah, I think it's clear that the work ethics are very different.
Yes.
I can hear that definitely. The
Yeah.
other day I was talking to someone in the Netherlands who actually does business with the US as well, and she gave me a bit of the other perspective, right? Like, I feel that I need to over communicate every single thing because, I need to respond to emails and I need to constantly provide input. But why do I have to do that if I have nothing to say? She said, like, it feels like a waste of time. And it's so interesting because it's this perception, like you said, culture is so relative.
And I hear that quite often. It's like, why should I say something? But it's just, it's managing expectations. It's almost, are you still there? Are you still working for the company? Are you still alive? Are you on vacation? Giving a sign of life and showing that I'm still working. We still have a business relationship. And it doesn't have to be a long email. It doesn't have to be your life story, but just to check in, like, I'm still here.
Yeah, just a small
And I'm thinking of
confirmation.
you.
Yeah, exactly. I can feel that also. It's this way of, you have been in my mind. I haven't forgot about you.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just, just simple email. That's just showing that you're still there and you're still, we're still working together.
This is an extremely valuable tip and recommendation. I think it will benefit a lot of people.
Oh,
So,
yeah.
and with a Dutch American connection,
Yeah.
you support their businesses, you support a smooth collaboration, turning, all these differences into a profitable international expansion. And do you focus then on, Dutch wanting to operate in the US or the other way around? How do you operate?
Both ways. Because yeah, it's very important for me to also, stay in touch with the Netherlands, see what's happening there. I mean, I read my Dutch newspaper online, the Telegraaf. I read it every day. I get a weekly compilation of more of the background of the news, NRC Week Editie. I'm like, I am super in touch with what's happening in the Netherlands. And of course, living here, I'm super in touch with what's happening here. And yeah, I feel like one doesn't go without the other. Or one goes with, you've got to keep in touch with both.
So, what is it that you do with your customers?
It's very broad. I mean, my goal is to make sure that people, expats, entrepreneurs, companies, teams thrive. So that can be, so for example, I'm currently working with a company that is hiring their first employee in the US. And so I get involved before, as soon as this person is hired, I get involved with the onboarding process. And about the hiring, I recommend everybody in the Netherlands who's hiring somebody in the United States that they get a recruiter who understands both the Dutch and the American side, because the recruitment process is completely different in the Netherlands than the US. But anyway, so once they've recruited somebody, I start in the onboarding phase. And before this person goes to the Netherlands, or the other way around, before the Dutch person goes to the US, I get involved and we talk about cultural differences, like the importance of the mindset, the importance of the self-awareness. And so we talk about the mindset and we talk about the cultural differences, so that when they go to the Netherlands, or when the Dutch person goes to the US, they can look out for these things. And this is the time that they meet people and they establish relationships. And at that point, they can establish ground rules about how we're going to work together. And they can explain, in the United States, we're going to have customers who are going to call up and say, I want a proposal and I want it by tomorrow, which means that, a Dutch person may have to stay later because they need to provide information. So if you just explain that, these are my expectations. So that's the onboarding process. And then I help with team building. You have a Dutch team and an American team. How do they work together? You've got that 3 month honeymoon phase where everybody's nice and, everybody's cooperating and it's all, beautiful. But then after 3 months, you see the little annoyances, like, why don't they respond? Or, from the Dutch side, like, why do I constantly need to respond? So how do teams work together? And then I work with families that move here. So quite often, an American family moving to the Netherlands. I work with the kids about the transition. I work with the spouse. I work with the expat themselves. How do you manage a Dutch American team? How do you manage the Dutch? So it's all about, having Dutch people go to the US and helping them thrive, having Americans go to the Netherlands and helping them thrive, having Dutch American teams thrive, anything that involves Dutch American cooperation.
I can see that it's a 360 approach almost, right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And so I work a lot with the families because that is so important. There's this big relocation management company that has done a lot of research on what makes an expat assignment successful. And 40%, 40% of the expat assignments end early because the family is unhappy, because the spouse is unhappy, the children are unhappy. And so the family is, is at a point where they have to make a decision that, okay, the family's unhappy. The family wants to move back home. What is the employee going to do? Are they going to move back home? Are they going to commute between, well, New York, Amsterdam is, I don't want to say it's commutable, but whatever. But, LA, Amsterdam is a lot longer. So it's so important that the family thrives. And when you think of it, the spouse probably has a beautiful life. They've got their job, they've got their friends, they've got their hobbies, and then they're just taken out of their environment and put in a new environment. And they take care of the kids, they make sure the house, they unpack, they hang up, the paintings and everything. And then they're, now what? And if they don't land well, if they don't know how to integrate, they don't understand the culture, or maybe they want to find a job, if they're not happy, that can impact the whole expat assignment. And if you look at an expat assignment, the cost of an expat assignment, it is such an investment for the company, for the family, that helping, giving the spouse and giving the children that little bit of support can make all the difference.
I think it's so important, and I'm very grateful for you to bring this up because, you know, we tend companies, and I have been guilty as well. I have been an expat in Singapore, in Japan, where I relocated with an accompanying spouse, where, you know, I also, as an expat, I took for granted that my partner followed me and, you know, figure it out. Good luck, really. Like, I have more things to do, but, you know, it has such an impact if families are unhappy, or if your spouse has a relation as a couple. You know, it's such an impactful event that I think the work that you do with the expat spouses and with the kids and the families is very valuable, very valuable.
You know, at first they're like, oh, you know, especially, you know, because I work a lot with people in New York and a lot of people moving to the Netherlands. I mean, that's fantastic. Who doesn't want to live in New York? Or for Americans, who doesn't want to live in Amsterdam? So in the beginning, there's this sense of adventure. And there's this whole thing like, you know, I'm moving to New York. Why would I need help settling in? I mean, it's fantastic. But as I mentioned in the beginning, you know, in New York, life goes on. You know, the kids need to go to school. You need to make dinner. And after a while, the excitement wears off. And that's when you need to help. And a lot of expats, you know, especially to places that are very desirable, the people at home are like, how can you complain? You're living the dream. You're living in Amsterdam. You're living in New York. You know, you have no right to complain because who doesn't want to live there? And that is a very big thing that there's little support, or not support, there's little understanding from home. I'm assuming you must have had the same thing, like Singapore, Japan. How exciting is that?
Oh yeah, and you know, I can completely relate on it. And also, I have been guilty of feeling guilty that, you know, things were not always thriving, and I thought, I don't have any right to complain. I'm living in, you know, Tokyo, in the capital, and having this fantastic life. And yes, I'm working my, well, I'm working really, really hard. You saw me struggle. I want to say I'm working my ass off. I will just do it. It's out there. You know, working really, really hard. And but the truth is, you commit as an expat, especially as expat moving for work-related purposes on an assignment, you commit to your work almost 24/7, really. You know, that's the purpose of your existence in that specific country. And then, you know, it's not always easy. It's not always a walk in the park.
No. Even though to the outside world, it's all glamour and glitter and, you know,
Absolutely. Yeah, but you know, it's not. And then, like I said, I felt guilty of not being always, you know, 24/7 happy, or not being thankful, or when I struggled, or when I experienced frustration, I thought I don't have the right to complain.
And a lot of expats think that way, but honestly, it's life. You're gonna have your ups and your downs, whether you're in Tokyo, Amsterdam, or New York.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, life is just life, right? And life continues whether you are really. It's just it's just a decent life.
So how did you deal with that? How did you cope with that?
Oh, beautiful question. Well, not so much really, hence the fact that I'm running my business as it is today. So, I've been working in a corporate environment for H&M for 17 years. I always feel a bit embarrassed when I'm dropping that number, but and for that company, I was abroad for 6 years approximately. And as much as I was extremely supported in moving from A to B with someone
right.
like you, for example, or different type of relocation services, settling in, especially in Japan as well, with language support and, you know, so many things, healthcare understandings.
Yeah,
I was really supported. But then when I was leading a team in the workplace of different cultural backgrounds, me being Dutch, I really realized that managing cultural differences really took a toll on me. Really
yeah.
took a toll. And especially on an expat assignment for job, for work, you know, that
yeah.
has a huge impact also on your personal well-being.
Absolutely. Yes,
yeah.
Of course. Of course. I'm sure you must have gone home thinking, what just happened?
And thinking, you know, walking around in a minefield, like in a field
yeah.
packed with landmines, you're like, everything has the potential to explode.
Yes.
I don't know if what I'm doing is right. I have zero clue. But because, you know, these, let's say these things become a bit woven. So you have your personal experience in your private life. You have your work experience being a working expat. You know,
yeah.
it becomes a very blurry line, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
And you asked me, how did you deal with that? Well, I didn't really, just, you know, getting on that train and continue going, which eventually took a toll in terms of,
yeah.
you know, it was not so fun anymore. It was very hard work.
Yeah.
And especially I realized that in corporate environment, in corporate organizations, you know, support and dealing with cultural difference in the international workplace, so that goes further and beyond supporting the expat in moving A to B.
Yeah.
That was poorly executed, really. And, you
yeah.
know, all the big players out there are, well, within brackets, guilty.
Yeah.
Which is why in 2021, I decided, you know, if I, as an expat, experienced that pain, if all my peers experienced that pain,
yeah.
After Japan, I moved to Chile again, you know, leading
yeah.
a team of, oh, I think at its peak, it was 11 cultural, 11 cultures present.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite
yeah.
dynamic, I have to say.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Literally.
Yeah, so I decided to support organizations with this because,
yeah.
I mean, you don't need to be an expat in order to experience cultural differences. And we, you know, we're all super good in seeking expat support, but yeah, being there out in the field, leading
yeah.
people from different cultural backgrounds is a different thing. So, and in that, of
yeah.
course, in that nature of my work, I meet a lot of expats, right? And I
of
always
course, yeah.
tell them,
yeah.
I've been there. I know how you feel. Don't try to do it alone. I tried to do it alone and huge failure. Really,
yeah,
seek for help.
Exactly. And it is such a small investment that has such a big payoff.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, whenever I, you know, I get new clients, when I coach new clients, they're always a bit skeptical. And you know, oh really, you know, I need to spend an hour on this, but pretty quickly they realize that, oh yes, I can get a lot out of this, and this can make my work so much easier, whether it is managing, you know, different cultures, yeah, managing, like being Dutch managing an American team, or being American managing a Dutch team. It's such, I would like to say it's an easy fix. It's not an easy fix, but it's you know, yeah, you can accomplish so much with so little help.
It's a very low hanging fruit, I would say.
Low
right?
hanging fruit.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And a very important one.
Yeah. But people, I find that people aren't aware of it. You know, it's until you spell it out for them, and then they're like, ooh, and you see the light bulbs go off. Oh, that's why.
Oh yeah. And I think it also makes sense, or it's natural that people do not really, you know, see the need of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of course, if you're not so aware of the potential challenges that you might face, you know, and everything is so uncertain, you know,
yeah.
why finding a solution for a problem that you haven't had yet, right? It's not
Exactly.
superhuman to have that approach, I guess.
You know, there's this charge, a chart of unconsciously incompetent, consciously incompetent, and most people are unconsciously incompetent, and just getting them to consciously incompetent, that's the most difficult.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So, within that spirit, let's say that people listening to this episode, they manage maybe to convert their unconscious incompetent into conscious competent. Do I say it correctly? Well, okay, you get my point.
Consciously incompetent.
Exactly. That's the this is thank you very much. So if I'm Dutch and I'm gonna move to the US, whether if that's with a family or not, what would be your number one recommendation other than reaching out and work with you? Because that I would recommend highly to everyone.
Oh, my number one recommendation. Yeah, I mean, okay, so other than getting help with cultural and settling, well, yeah, the cultural part and the settling in part. Yeah, I'd like to say have an open mindset and enjoy the ride. Or is that part of, you know, that is part
No,
of the cultural thing.
but it's not an
But
exam. You're free to give your answers, of course.
Yeah, no, you know, have an open mind and just and look at it as an adventure, as an experience that is unique, and that is going to be life changing. Yeah, now we're moving into, okay, it's life changing. So when you move back to your home country, whether that's the Netherlands or the US, I know that's a whole different discussion. But yeah, it's just a unique experience.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Beautiful. And I would love to in another time and place talk to you about, the moving back home because I can really relate to
Oh, the repatriation. Yes. Yeah.
yeah.
Yep. Been
I
there.
mean,
And yeah, and that's another thing that's undervalued. People are like, "Yay, I'm going home." But you know what? Home isn't the home you left behind. Home changed, you changed. But that's a whole different podcast,
yeah,
right?
exactly. But I would love to dive into that topic in a different podcast with you.
Let's do that.
So I would recommend from the bottom of my heart, if you're Dutch planning to move to the US, or if you're from the US planning to move to the Netherlands, to reach out to you. And where can people find you and how can they work with you?
So let me just add one thing. You don't have to
Please.
move, just, you know, working with, like, if you're staying in the Netherlands and working with Americans, you know, or if you're managing a team, or if you are planning on expanding. That's one of the things that's such an easy, it's like such a small investment with such a big payoff. Like, you know, have somebody, like, if you're Dutch and you're going to do a pitch for your American partner, client, whatever, have an American, like, have somebody with American ears listen to it. So it's more than just moving, just, you know, working or planning to work with Dutch or Americans. But to answer your question, how can they find me? My company is called Dutch American Connection. So the website is www.dutchamericanconnection.com.
Thank you
And
very
there
much.
you can get in touch with me.
Yeah, and thank you very much for underlining the importance also of it's not moving from A to B or from B to A. It's also about the interactions in general and overcoming all of those obstacles with your help. Thank you very much, Annette, for sharing your story. And before we will call it an end, is there anything that that we haven't touched up on that is important for you to mention or to share?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you for this opportunity and this great discussion and you sharing your experiences in Singapore and Japan and Chile. Is there anything? Well, yeah, you know, I could talk about this for days and weeks. I think we've touched upon the importance and the fact that most people are not aware of it. that, creating this awareness, I think, is very, very important. And just there are such simple solutions that have such an impact. So thank you for, for the discussion about that. And hopefully we can spread, how important this is.
Well, you have my commitment.
Thank you. And that's the thing, like people who have experienced it are like, yeah, this is really important. But if you haven't experienced it, it's hard to imagine, especially going from the Netherlands to the US, because American culture is so prevalent in the Netherlands.
Yes, absolutely. And like we said before, right? I mean, it's better to prevent things from exploding than to try to fix them once it's too late.
Oh boy, no, that's very, very difficult. And I've had cases where, couldn't fix it.
Yeah,
You just
well,
had to say, sorry, this isn't gonna work.
no, yeah, which is highly unfortunate, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
in so many ways, yeah.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for sharing your knowledge, your personal experience, and your story with us.
Yeah.
And I wish you a lovely evening.
Thank you, and you a wonderful evening, and thanks again for this opportunity.
I hope to give you a warm welcome to new episodes. And if you have enjoyed listening to my podcast, you would help me a lot by leaving a review or hitting that 5-star button on Spotify. This simply helps for my podcast to be found by others and to spread the awareness on cultural perception. But for now, I'm wishing you a great day, evening, night from wherever or whenever you're listening to this. Ciao!